Hello again. I am Digital Dave.
And I'm mostly Fast Eddie this morning.
We're just going to go with that.
That's it.
I'm not even going to debate.
Let it roll.
That's right. And we're joined by Mr. Quentin Duper and Miss Caitlin. I lost the last name.
Caitlin Miller.
Miller. Oh, that's an easy one. They're from Auburn University, another college.
It's college
flying
days. Hey, let's go back to school.
Oh, wrong. You never saw that movie, huh? You're too young. Anyway.
Trust me, it's a good one.
Yeah. So you have an aviation program, otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And how's it going?
It's going great. We have seen a lot of growth in the past few years. So actually this year, we're going from about 170 students to 270 students over the course of a summer. So
now, mostly focused on pilots or all related disciplines as well?
Yes, sir. So that's pilot specific. We have about 60 students in the aviation management program. So we've seen a lot of growth there as well, obviously growing along with the industry. So.
Yeah, that's something they don't talk about. They talk about a pilot shortage, but not necessarily a aviation manager shortage or airport manager shortage.
You know, I've always wondered, what is there to an aviation management program? What are you managing? Is it an airport? Is it an aircraft fleet?
You have to make sure the pilots get their coffee and donuts.
Well, you know, I always thought that a manager just comes out and growls at you and says, get this done now.
That's the other part.
Yeah, it really does encompass a little bit of everything with the aviation management department. You really can go into a lot of different areas with it, but we do see a lot of people who are just really interested in working in a management role in an airport.
Yeah, not necessarily interested in flying.
Exactly, but people can fly on the side, too,
when
they are in the management department.
Sure, but yeah, that's for the people who are afraid of flying but really love airplanes and airports,
exactly.
I guess. I don't know.
Exactly.
So you got 270 students. That's a bunch.
Do you are you working with a helicopter program as well, or is it strictly fixed wing?
So no, it's strictly fixed wing. Don't foresee that in the future, but yeah, as of right now, strictly fixed wing.
Okay, how many aircraft do you guys currently have?
So currently we're right around 25. We're obviously just like everyone else trying to purchase as many as we can.
That's a lot of airplanes.
Yes,
that's a lot of
must have a lot of mechanics running around.
Well, they
going,
probably have two or three on staff, I imagine.
Exactly. Two or three?
I have no idea.
I'd say at least a half a dozen if you got 25 aircraft.
It depends how many students bring them back bent.
I was going to say it depends upon how bad they abuse it.
That's right.
So you teach them how to write a squawk list.
Oh, that's day one. That's day one lesson. So.
Yeah, what's wrong with this plane? It's a picture, you know?
What is it, dead bugs on windshield? Live bugs are on back order?
That kind of thing.
Are the airlines chasing after you guys these days?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, just like everybody else, we have career fair days, and it's a dogfight out there. We eat a lot of pizza and donuts, fortunately. So yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, once you get your instrument, they're chasing after you, which is great for us. So we're excited.
That's so different because when we were younger, it was always you had to have a whole bunch of hours in turbines and multi-engine before an airline would even look at you.
Absolutely.
And that's the exciting part about it is that people come into the program and they really are being chased after, and it kind of gives them a chance to really kind of shop around and see which airline's the best fit for them or which path is the best fit for them from there.
Now, you were saying before we came in, you've been selected by Delta as like a farm program.
Yes, absolutely. So we were selected as one of eight schools for the Delta Propel program. And so the idea behind that is trying to streamline a path for kids to go from college to Delta. And so what that looks like is doing your interview, either your junior, senior, or while you're a CFI, and then heading off to a Delta connection or with Delta private jets, and then really getting you in the door with Delta quickly. And so
now that it brings to mind, airlines are real big on crew resource management and the whole philosophy of conducting business in the cockpit. Do you guys start teaching anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. One of our assistant chief pilots is actually a big psychology background, and so His big motivation in this next coming year is really focusing on that and focusing on the interaction between the pilot and the co-pilot and the student and the instructor relationship. So
that the students have to be feeling overwhelmed at some point when they start, you know, you're trying to learn just the basic skill of flying is enough. That's hard enough, and now all of a sudden they're throwing psychology classes at you, you know, the you know, care and feeding of the co-pilots type stuff.
Yeah, but.
You know, and it's complicated enough too, because I've noticed, you know, I remember a couple of years ago seeing a brand new Cessna 172, and here's a Garmin glass panel sitting in this thing, and I'm wondering, what the heck are they doing? This the avionics are worth more than the airplane. And then it dawned on me, you idiot. They are training people to deal with this stuff from the very get-go, because as a commercial pilot, this is what you're going to see.
And remember, half of these kids grew up on video games.
Yeah, exactly.
To them, that's not complicated.
They wouldn't know steam gauges if it bit them.
Yeah, right, right. So us, we're like, what's this do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an easy transition. I think we all enjoy kind of switching over to the glass cockpit and going from there.
Well, the capabilities of the glass cockpit are just unbelievable.
Yeah, I imagine they have a reverse culture shock.
Yeah.
They go out get in an old Piper Cub that has three gauges, and they're like, well, where is everything?
Yeah. Where's the panel?
Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing. The panels, you look at them, and it's just glass screens. It's not like the
olden
days.
Funny, that's why they call them glass cockpits.
Exactly. But, you know, the thing is, if you're an old steam gauge guy like the two of us are, you know, back from the dawn of time, this is a bit of a shock, because you're running, you know, what's this button do? How do you get here? Do that and do everything else. The training on the avionics has got to be just as intensive as the flight training.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I imagine you do a lot of ground training and ground simulation, just learning to use all that. Yeah,
absolutely, and it's a whole other system to learn as well, you know, and the schematics behind it, and if this breaks, what you need to do.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other thing to teach.
You're right, because, you know, every now and then, electrical thingies, they do go bad.
They do.
They're a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah, that's true, too, but
the electrons
still
are more happy to cooperate these days.
Yeah, well, that depends upon how hard you push them around.
Yes, exactly. Do you go all the way into turbines? Do you have any turbine aircraft?
So we do not have any turbine aircraft at this time. We just have Cessna 172s and Seminoles.
Okay. Well, they're all good airplanes.
They are.
No such thing as a bad airplane, especially when it isn't yours.
Aha. So you're going and taking them basically from somebody walking on the ground and getting them all the way through to what, commercial rating?
We do all the way up to MEI.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So wow.
Private through MEI.
And that would be multi-engine land, because a twin-engine float plane is rare.
Yes, we don't have any of those. I would love to fly one, and maybe need to talk to our advisors about that.
We can probably hook you up. We know the president of the Seaplane Pilots Association.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, we could probably hook the two of you up and then just watch the fur fly.
Is this your first trip here to Oshkosh?
This is my first trip. This is.
I've been here a few times now. This is my third year.
Okay, good. So he's in aluminum overload, and you're all right.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's even grown in this past year too. Just the amount of people, the amount of foot traffic that we've had by our booth, it's significantly increased.
Yep. And you didn't tell him? You didn't tell him? He says he wants to fly seaplane. There is a seaplane base.
I know. But I haven't made my way over there. Yeah. Exactly. Today we're going to try to make the trip out there.
Very good. Very good. It's a nice, relaxing place.
And you're going to have a lot of fun out there. Just tell them that Digital Dave and Fast Eddie sent you.
And they'll put you right back on the bus and send you back.
They'll send you right back here packing. Get out of here.
Yeah, they don't let us know. They're fine people.
They are. We were at their corn roast, and it was fun. But, you know, you guys, with 25 aircraft and the students, do you see your program expanding over time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's something, we have a new flight ed building actually coming in the fall, and it's because we are seeing all this growth, and our last building just couldn't handle the capacity. So, I mean, our program's growing, our fleet's growing. We're really excited for it, because it just means more students in the program doing something we all love. So,
yeah,
is it true that the motto of the school is, you know, today the airplanes, tomorrow the world?
Oh, exactly.
That's great.
And we've seen a lot of draw from kids who want to get that big college experience, you know, being a big SEC school. So we've seen a lot from that. So
that's good. There it goes again, right out the window.
Listen, it gets worse, because we're more exhausted as the week goes by.
Yeah. You thought we were smart.
We tend to get a lot sillier, not that you'd notice.
So I guess especially Delta, now that they're more or less partnering with you, they're going to tailor their pilot training to just dovetail right onto the back end of yours and continue right on.
Absolutely. And again, that Propel program, it's really focused on getting you you know, familiar with the way they do things. And as Caitlin mentioned, the new building, Delta's name will actually be on the building. So
Oh, wow.
We had a generous donation from them, and we're really excited to see that partnership grow. Being so close to Atlanta, just about an hour and a half away, we really seek to grow that relationship.
I wonder if they have a class, like maybe it's one of them extra credit electives, you know, where they teach you how to stand at the cockpit door when you've landed and say, you know, thank you for flying Delta and have a nice flight.
I was going to say they probably have a course that teaches you to take cover after you prang the landing.
Exactly, exactly.
Dodging the bullets there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what the story is. If the airplane has a beautiful landing, the pilot gets to stand out there. If it's a bouncer, it's the co-pilot's job.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Well, where are you guys on the field?
So I'm finishing up my commercial.
Yep, and I'm finishing up instrument starting commercial in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with Quentin Duper and Caitlin Miller.
Yes.
I remembered it.
Yes, exactly.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.